Hello, my name is Nick O'Reilly, and I'm a partner in the firm of Moorfields Advisory Limited. This podcast is really to look at what is the future for business in the United Kingdom after the Brexit vote, now that 10 days have gone by and we can reflect more fully on the result. The most important thing, I think, to start this talk is that markets hate uncertainty. And therefore, a vote for Remain probably wouldn't have caused the sort of fluctuations in the markets that we saw. Because if we'd have voted to Remain, then it would have been business as usual. We would have had the same Prime Minister, Chancellor of the Exchequer, and in conjunction with the Bank of England, they would have been able to give the impression of business as usual and that nothing would change. Of course, we voted to leave the EU. And the problem with that is that markets immediately started to think, well, what is the plan? Where is the plan? And what is going to happen? And that situation probably wasn't helped on the Friday morning after the vote by the sort of Leave campaign team, because it seemed to be a sort of muddled, mixed message that was being given by Boris Johnson, being the sort of prime person or face of the Leave campaign. And they seemed to be sort of rowing back from various promises that were made. Now, the good thing that happened over the weekend and on the early Monday and Tuesday following the vote was the involvement of Mark Carney, the head of the Bank of England, and George Osborne, the Chancellor of the Exchequer. They both made very firm statements that they were ready to step in and give whatever support was needed to make sure that things stayed as they were, and that helped to ease the uncertainty that markets were initially feeling about the vote. Now, before we look at what happens for businesses, I think it would be amiss of us to miss out on the political fallout that's occurred from the Brexit vote. As we know, David Cameron resigned immediately after the vote, and there's a leadership contest in the Conservative Party, and the first vote of that goes forward today. Now, the questions that have to be answered from the political side of the Conservative Party leadership campaign is, will the public be willing to accept a Remain Prime Minister if Theresa May, the early favourite, gets the role of Prime Minister? She clearly voted to Remain. She has already said that she would surround herself with a team of people from all sides of the party, including those who voted to leave. And that might give more comfort to the general public that she is the best choice of Prime Minister. Question she also has to cover off in her leadership campaign is, will the members of Parliament for the Conservative Party, will they accept a mixed team of Leavers and Remain? I think the important thing from their point of view is that they need to have a show of unity. Europe is a difficult issue for the Conservatives, and it always has been, and this vote for Brexit will not change that. There are very wide divisions within the party. Now, for going forward, there's no credible opposition at the moment either, because Labour MPs are incredibly worried that the current leader is not providing the leadership that the party needs. They saw what happened in Scotland, where at the general election of 2015 they were virtually wiped out with just one Member of Parliament left. And that was because they could not relate to their core vote in Scotland, which had always been a Labour heartland. Now, in this Brexit campaign, it's clear that Labour supporters have not followed their leader's advice, which was to remain, but instead have voted in large numbers in the Northern Heartlands to vote out of the EU. Labour MPs are obviously terrified that if there is some sort of continued fall away in Labour support in those areas, that there will be a markedly reduced number of Labour MPs, and therefore there will be no credible opposition to a newly formed government front bench. Now, that's the political fallout, but more important for this podcast is what's going to happen, or what are our views on what's going to happen with the British economy going forward. Well, we shouldn't underestimate the strengths of the British economy. We are the fifth largest economy in the world, and based on that, other countries will still continue to want to tap into our market. On a very practical level, if you walk down any street here in London, you will see a succession of German owned cars or German built cars in Audis, Volkswagen, Mercedes, Benz. BMWs. And the question is, would Germany, as a member of the EU, would they vote for something which meant that they no longer had access to what is a very important market to them? I don't think so. I think that George Osborne's statement that they are considering accelerating the reduction in corporation tax levels charged to companies in the UK is a fantastic move. And I think they're moving towards a situation where they may well rival the low rates of corporation tax, 12.5%, in Ireland, which of course is in the EU. That is a tremendous step, which I think will encourage companies to come and do business here in the UK and will encourage growth. Now, in my view, we're in a strong position to force a compromise with the rest of the EU. I can understand the posturing of the European Union at the moment. What they don't want to have is any contagion and other countries decide that they're going to follow Britain's lead. Other countries don't necessarily have as strong as an economy as we do, and therefore they're probably not in a stronger negotiating position. But what the EU do not want to do is set a dangerous precedent. However, I think the position of the UK within the EU is quite unique. Now, the big issue for any Prime Minister and team going in to negotiate with the EU is the question of free movement of labour. The Brexit campaign was pretty much run on the basis that we would take back control of our borders and that we would stop the free movement of trade, free movement of labour. Now, I think we're in an incredibly strong position to impose some form of control over our borders whilst continuing to enjoy free trade, or certainly a very, very favourable trade agreement. Now, it may take some time for that negotiation to take place, and the EU may make public statements that they're not going to go along with it. But I think at the end of the day, we are in such a position of strength within the EU. Certainly, we're the fastest growing economy within the EU, and some of the countries within the EU have very limited or no growth at all. So I think our position is unique in that we can dictate far stronger terms, I think, for our leaving than other countries could do. So I can understand the EU's concern with it, but I don't think that that is going to follow through. The bigger issue that I think we face post-Brexit is the problems with the economy that we were perhaps already facing before the EU vote. And what I mean by that is that I think growth forecasts have been reduced from where they thought they were, because I think it's a very patchy market within the UK as to whether or not growth is taking place and whether that growth is being shared amongst all parts of the country or all types of industry. Now, we said at the start of this podcast that what people don't like, what markets don't like, is uncertainty. And I think there is a degree of uncertainty regarding the economy which Brexit vote could give an opportunity for various players in the market to put off making decisions. What I mean by that is that will banks still have the appetite to lend money to small and medium business enterprises in the UK? Or will they be slightly more cautious about the recovery ability of that money? In the UK, we've already seen banks being very slow in providing finance for businesses, and the government have had a number of initiatives over the years to try and force banks into a policy of lending money. Because that hasn't happened, there has been a very large growth in peer-to-peer lending, with businesses lending to each other, or individuals' funds lending into companies directly. And those returns from that particular lending have been at a slightly higher level given the amount of risk that they're putting in. Now, the other problem that we have is what will be the newly formed government's front bench's decision on austerity. Obviously, if George Osborne remains as Chancellor of the Exchequer in any newly formed front bench, then it's likely that he will continue with his policy of austerity and cutting public budgets, certainly across the areas that he can, and therefore that might mean business as usual. But the problem with the austerity is, again, whether the austerity is being shared by all, or whether it is more heavily being felt by the economically disadvantaged. And again, I go back to the North-South divide, which is more marked in the voting of this particular referendum than has ever been the case before, because virtually everyone outside of London and Scotland and parts of Northern Ireland voted to leave. Now, they may well have done that because they're feeling economically disadvantaged, and they may well feel that their jobs and benefits have been somehow subsumed by an influx of European nationals. Now, if we get some control upon our borders in terms of the influx of EU migrants, and the economically disadvantaged do not see any increase in their standard of living, then we may well find ourselves in a difficult situation, because they may believe that, hang on a second, they were told by the Leave campaign that taking control of our borders would somehow sort out the situation in the UK economy. It may well be that we are facing a weakening off in our economy anyway, which stopping EU labour coming in may not in itself solve the problem. So the problem that I see over the next couple of years is that growth may well be starting to fall from its positive progress over the last 3 or 4 years. And that fall may well be caused by factors such as the fact that the economy is not well balanced, and an awful lot of it is focused on London southeast. We've seen with the problems that we've had with the steel industry, and we've also seen the collapse of BHS as sort of problems that there are in the high street, and problems that we may well find in heavy manufacturing, which is primarily based outside London. Now, what we don't need with a slightly weakening economy is uncertainty, because if you have more uncertainty, that's going to feed in to a sort of spiral that perhaps growth then is going to slow because investment decisions are put off. And so my overall view at the moment is we're in a strong position to negotiate with Europe. We have made positive statements about the way forward, both from the Bank of England and the Chancellor, but there may well still be rocky roads ahead, not necessarily caused by our relationship with the EU, but caused by the weakening of our domestic economy generally. I hope you've enjoyed the thoughts. These are my thoughts. I am a partner at Moorfields Advisory Limited, and thank you very much for listening.